Who have you been griping about this week a little bit angrily? Stop it. That's not what the sermon's about. I just know that that hits almost everybody. Listen, I just want you to do me a favor. This first part will be a little interactive, and so if you want to take some notes, this would be a good time. You might get some really good stuff here because of what you're going to hear from some of these folks. Let's look up some verses on what it is that the Lord wants you to do. Christian, you're a Christian, child of God, of course. You go to worship, you go to class, and all that stuff. But what does he want you to do? Day-to-day Christian living stuff. I'd like to hear, you know, you tell us and give us the verse, what the Bible says about Christian living and what the Lord expects you to do. But first, while you're looking those up, I'm going to tell you a chicken story. It was Thanksgiving morning, and the kids had just got here from North Carolina, and I was really tired, and I got up, and I still had my Jam Jams on. And I had to go take care of the chickens, and I've got a lot of chickens. In one of my pens, I have chickens that are about 6 months old. They started laying. I got them about 2 months ago from a guy who got them from someone who clips beef. And so one of my chickens has a really gnarly beak. It looks like a bad fingernail clip job. It's just really bad. And she only has one eye. So she just got one eye. She gets picked on by everybody in the coop. They're tearing her up. And so she gets up and she tries to hide. She comes down, she scavenges a little bit, does her thing once in a while. I go in there and I've got my Crocs on and no socks. Don't ever do that. So I'm putting feed in their feed container and she gets a piece of my skin. I get off. You know, and I give her the business. That happened 3 times. The third time, we had to establish a pecking order. So I throttled her. Just like the other chickens do. So moral of the story, whoever you're griping about this week, just stop. Okay, we're going to be talking about ministry today, just for a couple of minutes. The passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Basically, what I was kind of hoping that we might get from that is the idea that evangelist and ministry is used in a similar concept, and ministry is something that the evangelist does. But I believe, very much so, that ministry is something that we all do. It means to serve. So, before we get too deep into this, I want you to tell me, in your opinion, what are some things that God expects a Christian to do? Just say it. And what is the verse? David, you have one?
Yeah, Micah 6:8.
Okay, and what does it say?
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and you walk humbly with your God.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling and complaining.
Okay. Goes right along with chickens. Anyone? Yes. Thank you. It's a good one. Anyone else? All right. Well, we got a few. So, let's look in our Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. It says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. And if you have a different translation, it might say ministry there. To the building up of the body of Christ. So an evangelist, a preacher, and a minister. I always think of an evangelist as someone who brings the good news to the world and trains others to that kind of work. That's his job. That's what he does. That's how he lives, he breathes, he eats, he drinks, he thinks. Everything is all about that. That's who that guy is. And then the preacher, have you ever heard of the pulpit minister? Good pulpit. Want some water? Pulpit minister. A pulpit minister is someone who is preacher. He's the guy that spends most of his time working on what he's going to say on Sunday morning. He's a pulpit minister. And I guarantee you, if you hire a pulpit minister, that's what you get. You get a pulpit minister. He works on his sermon, and he delivers a great message to you on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's what he does. A minister is a servant. He's you. He is someone who is supported by the congregation, and I believe, personally, that a minister is someone who is an expert at service. Because he's actually been hired on to do that. So he's good at it. Or he should be. So you shouldn't have to whine and cry to get him to do it because he's a minister. That's what he does. And the congregation supports him to do that type of work. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, not everyone, and I heard Mark and some of the other elders say this, not everyone's an evangelist. Not everyone is a preacher, and not everyone is a minister. Every once in a while you get lucky and you find somebody that's got some of all three, or you got some of a couple, or they're good at a couple. My brother-in-law, I tell you right now, my brother-in-law Ernie Smith, you're going to meet him someday. I have never in my lifetime met a better minister. When he sends you a text to tell you Happy Thanksgiving, it's may the Lord shine down upon you and bring you greatness and love and your family and candles and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And about three or four paragraphs later, he says, Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's a hallmark. Yeah, he is good at that stuff. Really, really good at it. Me, I say Happy Thanksgiving, God bless you, Joe. That's me. But honestly, my brother-in-law Ernie, he's the guy that notices that you're not well, and your grass needs cut, and he'll either come cut it for you or find somebody to do it. That guy is the best, and he has always been the best. I've never met anybody like him before. Now, my other friend, Roger DeLoach, he's very similar. He's the king of brake jobs. He doesn't understand why any of the brethren would pay to have a brake job done when he could do it for you. Correct, yeah. That sounds crazy, but Roger has done I don't know how many brake jobs for different members of the church. Now, am I saying that someone who's a minister should do brake jobs or write Hallmark cards? No. What I'm saying is they really have a heart for serving the brethren. They just have a heart for it. It is everything to them, a minister. But yet it is something that we're all supposed to be a part of and we're all supposed to do. A minister is part of the called out body of Christ. He is someone who's a member of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the Ecclesia. He's the same as us. He's the guy that comes to us and works with us and is supported by us to do work that we're already doing, but we need help to do it better, be more efficient at it, and maybe even teach us how to do it a little better and be more efficient at it. I believe that, and I can't leave this unsaid, it's really important that a congregation not look at the minister from the standpoint that we are going to support a man to do work and we're not going to have to do it anymore. That's like not right. That's not how that works. I remember one time I was called nobody, and I'll tell you that story real briefly. Someone came to my door. I was living in the parsonage, and a man came to my door. He was a nurse. And he said, are you the preacher? I said, yes, I am. And he said, I was just over at sister's house taking care of her. And she was a member of this church for many, 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 many years. And nobody ever comes to see her from here. She's been down for a year and nobody's ever come to see her. I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'd been there just a few weeks.
I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. And he said, well, can you see that she gets a visit? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely can. So that was on Saturday, Sunday morning. I go to one of the men of the congregation, and I said, I told him the story. I said, the guy said, nobody has been by to see her. And he said, well, have you been by to see her? I'm nobody. You didn't know that, did you? He said, have you been by to see her? I said, well, I didn't even know she existed. I'm new here, remember? She was gone long before I arrived. Well, you need to go see her. I said, well, I'll do that. So I went to see her. And she was very ill. And she did what most women do. I called her, told her I was coming. So what do you think she did? She cleaned her house. She worked on her hair, did her makeup a little bit, and kind of got dressed up because preacher's coming. A couple days later, nurse comes back to my house. Knocks on the door. I said, can I help you? And he says, yeah. I heard you went to see her. And I said, yes, I did. And he said, listen, this is not my business. Your church is not where I go. I go to church too. Your church is not where I go to church. But he said, she lived there and attended that congregation for years. She wants to see some of the people there, not you. She doesn't even know who you are. And when you show up, she cleans her house, does her makeup, and does it. She's exhausted and sick after you leave. Don't go back. He said, tell them to come see her. I said, okay, I will. I was young. I didn't know these things. Now I know. Sometimes you just got to have stuff pointed out to you. Like, if you're being grouchy and angry, you just should stop it. Ministry responsibility in a congregation is, when there are elders, is something that is laid out by the elders. The elders you have chosen in this congregation to be the shepherds of this flock based upon their qualifications. And you put your trust in them based on their qualifications to do that job. And so part of their responsibility is to make sure that all of us stand before the Lord God on the day of judgment. And so they look out for our souls. That's part of their responsibility. And in doing that, they'll be working with the minister and making sure he understands what they would like for him to do while he's working here in this congregation. And that's a good thing. They'll make sure that he understands exactly what they want, and there'll be no surprises as time progresses. Maybe they'll tell him to visit the sick, pray for the hurt, encourage every member, and share the gospel and some of those things any minister has heard sitting in an elders' meeting. One of the things that a preacher has to do, absolutely has to do, but many times gets overlooked, is he has to study. He has to. If he doesn't study, you're going to hear sermons about the Chiefs. You're going to hear sermons about NASCAR. You're going to hear sermons about deer hunting and sermons that don't have anything to do with the Bible. A preacher has to study. If he's studying, then the words that he's reading and studying will come out in his message. Even when you're talking to men and looking at them to bring them in here to be a minister of this congregation, you'll be able to tell by listening to his sermon if he's studying, if he's spending any time in the book. He has to study. So, just briefly again, let's talk about the elephant in the room, because there is an elephant in the room when we're talking about this subject. Whether we like it or not, the church will judge a preacher based upon his ability in this pulpit. Now, you may not want them to do that. You may not want them to do that at all. You may want them to judge the preacher based upon, you know, just is he friendly, is he doing a good job, and is he a good Christian man, and is he being a positive man? Well, unfortunately, the elephant in the room is most people are going to judge him based upon what they see up here. That's the truth. I've done this for many years, and I know that's, Herman can tell you, that's just the way it's going to be. Most people are going to do that. That's the elephant in the room. Regardless of what else you might think, that's the way that's going to work. So I I bring all of this up because you're looking for a minister, and Herman and I might be qualified to tell you a little bit about that. I have tried out, if you will, a few times for preaching jobs. But I want to talk to you for just a moment. Probably this is the main reason I'm doing this today, is this little part right here, is your responsibility to a minister, your personal responsibility. You need to love his family. Now, I know sometimes people are not always likable, but you need to love his family. His children may not be happy here. They just moved here from another place. If they have children that are young, they just moved here from another place. They've started school already. You moved them in here, and they've been separated from all of their friends. They may not be happy here. You need to love those children. Try to help them to assimilate into the congregation somehow. The wife may not be happy here. Maybe they came here from some place where they'd been for 15 years, and her mother was a member of the church where they were at. And now she's separated from her mom. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just telling you. Got to love that lady. You got to look out for her. Because if she ain't happy, trust me, that preacher's going to have, you're going to be like, what's wrong with him? He looks like he hasn't slept in 3 days. And it's not because he's been up praying for you. He's been up praying for himself. I can tell you, too, that a preacher's not going to be here very long if he's having to spend a lot of time putting out all the fires at home. You know, we think on the terms of wanting the preacher to help us, to be involved in us, and you know, the honest truth of the matter is, we need to do everything we can to help assimilate that family into this congregation. Amen. The elders here are fantastic. Man, my goodness, I just can't say enough good about them. They made me feel really good here. They made me feel a part of this congregation very quickly, and I really appreciate that. So I expect they'll do that same thing for the minister, or when the minister comes. But you should do it too. And many of you have been very welcoming to us as well. But I'm just telling you, just really trying to admonish you to look out for him, to love him, encourage him, have him into your home, get to know him and his wife and children. He is just a man, but he is also someone who has given his life to service. And again, I'll repeat this again. What you do every day in your Christian life, you love others. You know someone that's in the hospital and you're praying for them. And you're trying to encourage others that's suffering. You expect him to do all of those things. And you expect him to be really good at it. And he should be. Because we're supporting him. We're trying to find someone that is really, really good at it. Might even be able to teach us a thing or two about how to do that really well because of his example that he's setting for us. So the very things that we're doing are the things that he's going to be doing here as well. When I think about the chicken, the pecking order. Sometimes the chicken is thrown into a group, and if the chicken doesn't look quite right, or the chicken isn't assertive enough, or whatever, it gets pecked to death. It happens. And then when all of that starts happening, they can even become aggressive. Trust me, I've been there. Seen that just recently. Mm-hmm. Seen it. So, ladies, love that preacher's wife. Please, please, please love that preacher's wife. We talk about hiring a preacher. I'm telling you, you better love that preacher's wife because it can be rough for her. So rough. You know, she may come in here and be a better preacher than he ever dreamed of being. And I've seen that. Trust me. I've seen women who outshine their husbands so much. And then I've seen women who come in there kind of discouraged. Because they've had to leave someplace they didn't want to leave. So I just want you to be there for her when she shows up.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, I could probably say a whole bunch more. But I'm not going to. I'm going to spare you all of that. I do want you to know that in the short time that I've been here, I love you folks. And I appreciate... I appreciate you a lot. You're a blessing for us. Buckley came over and prayed for me before I got up here, and I appreciate that. And that means a lot to me that I'm cared for and cared about as much as I am. So you folks are important to me too. So every day we pray for the elders, and we pray for the search committee here as they're looking for a minister. It's a hard job because we have to find someone who's compatible with our personality, right? Right. Because church has a personality. The elders have a personality. So compatibility is important. So I want to admonish you to continue to pray for the elders, for the search committee, and pray for the preacher and his family too, that is not here yet. I want you to pray with me real quick, and then we'll have the invitation song right after the prayer. And if you have anything that you need to come forward and talk to me or one of the elders about, just come on down here. Let's stand up and let's pray together real quick. Father God in heaven, we come before your throne in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you've given us so many admonitions on how it is that we're to live, to let our light shine before men, to take the gospel to the whole world. We pray that you help us to be the kind of men and women that you would have us to be, to show kindness, love, mercy, graciousness to all, not just to each other, but to everyone. We pray that you be with us, to be with this congregation, to be with the elders and the search committee as they look for the preacher and his family that would best be compatible with this congregation. Work the best here. Do the most good in the time that he spends among us. We pray that you help us to help him grow spiritually and to help his family to grow spiritually and to be better, for us to be better by him being here and for him to be better by being with us. And Father, we would like to ask that you touch each and every one of our hearts and help us to be alert to the needs of others and to be the kind of folks that are not going to be angry at each other, not last week or not this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.